It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Radio Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is, as always, spectacular to have you here. I am Rob Brown on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the alpha and the omega of the Fan Upstate, the Sultan of Swag, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave. Lonzo is in charge of this broadcast and every broadcast. You're welcome to join us. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is up for you at 844-326-3663. That's 844-FANFONE. You may pop us off a text on our text line at 71307, 71307. If you want to get at us in that direction, do me a favor and start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can text about anything. We don't care. Have at it. Have at it. Let's go with Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, and at the Fan Upstate if you want to get to everybody. And then, of course, if you got something that's a little bit more long form, but you don't want to bring it onto the radio, you may indeed email me, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Don't forget the dot in the middle, the period in the middle, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. It is 7:02 in the a.m. You, my dear friend, have less than an hour until you get clocked into work. And I know how this works. When you get to the office, you're going to head down the hall. You're going to go to accounting. You're going to meet up with Angelica, the only person you know named Angelica. You know an Angela. Heck, you might even know an angel. I think in our lifetimes, we all come across one Angelica. She's always a little bit out there, a little bit spacey. But Angelica loves her a little sports, right? She loves some baseball, does Angelica. And so you're gonna walk down the hall and you're going to go, psst, hey, come on, let's go talk. Let's go talk about baseball. Let's go talk sports. And you're going to walk down the hallway and you're going to find that one spot in the office that your boss can't see you. And when you get there, you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports with Angelica or any of your coworkers, you're going to need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, you need this. When I realized what I had done here, I thought about switching it up, but I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I don't know that I can. I don't know that I can. Ladies and gentlemen, an all baseball water cooler cheat sheet today. Three items that you need to know, all of them today relating to hardball, because again, even with the OTAs going on, we have entered the heart and soul of baseball season. So let us begin with item number one. Couple of stories about pitchers around Major League Baseball today. Gerrit Cole made his way back last night. The return of last year's AL Cy Young winner, Gerrit Cole, ended up in a 7-6, 10-inning loss to the Baltimore Orioles, a team that is doing their darndest to run down the Yankees in the AL East, a pair of teams that I would be not shocked in the least to see competing for that division when we get to the end of the year. Gerrit Cole made his return. Four innings of work, gave up just three hits, two earned runs, and K'd five on 63 to pitches. We have been wondering when the Cy Young winner might make his way back, as the Yankees have only a 1.5 game lead on the Orioles right now. The Yanks 51-25, the O's 48-25 as it stands right now. Obviously a lot of baseball left to be played, but for now, getting Garrett Cole back is a huge boon. Aaron Judge did not play in this contest last night. Aaron Judge, of course, took one off the hand a night before that. He came out and said the x-rays were negative and that he is good to go. I believe last night was a precaution. Aaron Judge is run down from the years of service he's put in for the New York Yankees. Still a very good player, but as I mentioned preseason, part of the reason that I think Aaron Judge was a good AL MVP bet before the season started was because I think the Yankees have come to the recognition that the guy's never going to be 100%. And the best way that you can cover that up is to give him rest. Instead of going full tilt until he's broken and then sitting him down for 12, 14, 18 games at a time, let him take one off every now and then. And I bet that's what happened last night. For the LA Dodgers, Walker Buehler headed back to the injured list, this time with inflammation in his right hip. Buehler missed most of the 2022 season, all of the 2023 season, after consecutive Tommy John surgeries, has been unable to approach his success that he had from 2018 to 2021 when he won 39 games and never crossed above a 3.44 ERA. In 8 starts since making his season debut this year back on May 8th, Buehler is 1-4 with an ERA of almost 6. On Tuesday, Buehler took a line drive off the hip in the third inning. He recovered to get the final out and stayed in the game through the fourth, but he did surrender 7 runs and 7 hits, including a pair of dingers with a walk and 2 strikeouts. Walker Buehler has now been sent to the IL by the LA Dodgers. That's a big blow for a team trying their best to win that. Up in Chicago, the Windy City, Kyle Hendricks, one of the last remaining players from that World Series team. Kyle Hendricks earlier in the year got bumped down to the bullpen because he just, as a starter, was not getting it done. Well, they ran out of bodies. They moved him back into the rotation, and all he did was deliver in a 6-5 win for the Giants last night. Kyle Hendricks' return to the starting lineup looks like it may be a bit of a boost for a Chicago Cubs team that is absolutely in the thick of it. It was Hendricks' first win on the season. He has now 1-4. He went 5.2, gave up just 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and K'd 8 in the game. So that's big, big stuff there. And finally, and we'll talk about Reynaldo Lopez coming up here in just a moment from right now when we get to item number 2. Reynaldo Lopez has an ERA as it stands right now that is under 1.6. Reynaldo Lopez, after his outing yesterday for the Atlanta Braves, now has an ERA of 1.57. It is the lowest ERA through the first 13 games of a season of any pitcher since Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux did it back in the 90s. Not bad, Reynaldo Lopez. We wondered where the Bravos might get some support with Spencer Strider down. We might have our answer, and that is part of item number 2. The Atlanta Braves, 7-0 winners last night over the Detroit Tigers. They get it done in a final that allowed Braves fans to breathe a little bit.
Hey, Rob, what's the opposite of an alarm?
Snooze button, right? Braves fans, you can all push the snooze button, all right? You don't have to worry about anymore. Now it's... take a deep breath. Relax. Sean Murphy, a pair of dingers last night for the Atlanta Braves. The win does go to Reynaldo Lopez, now 5-2 with a 1.57 ERA. He went five innings, gave up seven hits, but no Tigers were able to find home plate. He had just one walk, six Ks on 93 pitches. Aaron Bummer checked in through two innings, gave up just one hit. Hernandez and Holmes checked in to round out the game. Both of them went an inning. Neither of them gave up a hit. And this was supposed to be, if the Tigers were going to take one of three against the Bravos, this was supposed to be the one. They ran out Tarek Skubal, who is a Cy Young candidate, has been for years gone by, just hasn't been able to really finish seasons. We'll see if this year is different. Just his third loss out of 11 decisions this year, 8-3 after the loss yesterday. The Bravos knocked him for seven. They got five more across the three innings that Mason Englert threw for Detroit last night, knocked him up for five hits and a pair of earned runs. They got four earned runs off of Skubal. They also ended up with a unearned run, against Skubal as well. Sean Murphy, as we mentioned, a pair of dingers last night. He got one in the third off of Skubal, one in the fifth off of Englert. And the recent call-up, the former Oakland Athletic, Ramon Laureano, who checked in after, of course, you had the injury earlier in the week. The rash of injuries across the outfield, actually, to Mike Harris. He stepped in, had a dinger as well. Murphy went 4-for-4 in this game. Four hits, four ribbies, a pair of knocks, and three runs scored in four ABs. That brings his average up to 196. You hope this is an awakening, okay? You hope this is an awakening because you got one player batting over 300 right now. It is Marcell Ozuna. You got two players batting below 200 right now. In fairness, Sean Murphy missed extended time with an injury. Laureano just got the call up from Gwinnett to replace Money Mike on the roster. Everybody else hanging anywhere from about 240 to 260. For Atlanta, but they do get it done yesterday. It does bring the Braves, as we have mentioned, back up to 10 games over 500. They are now 41-31. They are now back within seven games of the Phillies. The Phillies 49-25, the Bravos 41-31. That lead had grown into the double digits at one point. Now the Bravos have got it back down to seven. Atlanta has now won six out of their last seven. The lone L was that homer against the Rays. Of course, of those games, all but one of them were at home. What do the Bravos have? Well, tomorrow, after a day off today, they travel up to the Bronx. Tomorrow, they are on the road at the Yankees, and they are getting the best the Yankees can put on the bump, almost. They're not going with heel, but they are going to get Rodon, Stroman, and Cortez up against Sale, Morton, and Waldrop that are the planned starters right now for Atlanta. A three-gamer at the Yankees over the weekend going on for the Atlanta Braves. Let's get to item number three. Your College World Series matchup is locked and set. Yesterday, a pair of games to determine who would go on to play in the College World Series final. It opened up early in the day with a makeup game. Kentucky and Florida got rained out of their elimination game, so they had to play one early as part of a doubleheader for whoever won it. Florida would get a 15-4 win over the Wildcats to open up the day. Then in game two, Tennessee took on Florida State. You will go back to game number three of this College World Series, a game in which Florida State had Tennessee very much on the ropes. The number one overall seed was down four going into the bottom of the ninth. A no-call strike on what was very clearly a check swing strike allowed Tennessee to stay alive. They would put up four runs with two outs on the board to knock the Noles into the loser's bracket. FSU would fight their way through that loser's bracket to get up in a rematch with Tennessee, but the second one not nearly as close as the first. Tennessee 7-2 winners over Florida State. That bounced the Noles from the tournament. And then we had the nightcap, and it was a blowout and a shutout. 6-0 winners, the A&M Aggies over the Gators of Florida. Just six hits collected for Texas A&M, including just 2 of 9 with runners in scoring position. But it was enough because Florida couldn't hit the baseball. Four hits for Florida. Two of them came from Jacques Coglione. He ended up with a pair of hits. You got one from Curlin, and you got one from Shelton. Nobody else on the Gator roster was able to put the baseball on the bat and get anything done. And as a result, the Gators get bounced. It was a massacre for the Sunshine State yesterday, and it does set up a College World Series between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Texas A&M Colt. I mean, Aggies. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow on the show. We will break that series down at length. Game number one in the College World Series finale is on Saturday. Game number two is on Sunday. And should it be needed, the best of three would conclude, if necessary, on Monday. So there you have it, an all baseball water cooler cheat sheet. When we come back here in just a moment from right now. Since Trevor Lawrence signed his big old fat stat contract a few days ago, we've been having a discussion about the value of quarterbacks across the National Football League. We've been talking about the value of quarterbacks. I have tried to explain that quarterbacks don't get paid on performance. They get paid on potential. We are going to take a look at the highest paid NFL players at all 22 starting positions. And I think when you hear the names that are on that list, when you see the dollar bills, y'all, that are on that list, I think it will illustrate my point. We'll do that when we come back. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show rolls on after this. It is the Fan Upstate.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So let's take a few minutes here and look at the top paid players by position across the National Football League. The most guaranteed money. Now we know the quarterbacks, Joe Burrow. Would you say Joe Burrow has earned his 3-year average per year of $62.9 million? That's the highest guaranteed average salary per year in the NFL.
I don't know. If a guy worked here and he didn't show up to work a bunch, because he's out legitimately, he's sick, but he doesn't show up for work a bunch, other people have to pick up the slack when he's not there. So is he earning his money because of that? Do you factor in injury?
I mean, that's the fun question to ask. I would say Joe Burrow took you to a Super Bowl. Didn't win it. Took you to it. And I would say, considering that's the ultimate prize and quarterback's the one position that you better be good at it for that to happen, I would say Joey B is yes. Is Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts? Because that's 2 through 6. I would say on this list, Jared Goff has proven it. NFC Championship game last year. Trevor Lawrence, I would say entirely potential. Justin Herbert, entirely potential. Lamar Jackson, I would say proved it, despite the fact that he doesn't have a ring. I would still say he's proven it. Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl, but I would argue a lot of Jalen Hurts is still considered potential because a lot of folks feel like the defense of that Eagles team and the immense amount of skill position talent around Jalen Hurts was what got them there, which is why since that team began to fracture a little bit, Jalen Hurts ain't look like the same guy.
Also factor in the fact that they had a really good offensive line that may have made him look better than what
100%. So I'd be fine saying Jalen Hurts is, though he has gotten a ring, still playing because of potential. Now let's look at the other positions. Highest three-year API at running back, Christian McCaffrey. Has that guy earned it? Yeah.
But you can go back to the earlier argument about how much is he on the field. Since he's been in San Francisco, he's been on the field a bunch.
And I've made the argument in years gone by. I really do think that the injury concerns that plagued Christian McCaffrey when he was at Carolina were because of Carolina. I think San Francisco more appropriately uses the skill set and body type that Christian McCaffrey has, and that's why they've been able to keep him healthy. We'll find out this year. Number two, Jonathan Taylor. Has Jonathan Taylor proven it? Absolutely, he has.
Yeah, he's been steady every single year in the league.
One of the best all around. Number three, Alvin Kamara. Has Alvin Kamara proved it for the Saints?
I don't know.
Fell off a little bit last year, but the answer is very yes.
Spent too much of his time punching people.
Number four, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley. Has Saquon proved it? Yes. Absolutely. Total guaranteed money. Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley at wide receiver. Highest three-year average per year and total guaranteed money is Justin Jefferson with his new contract. Has JJ proven it? Absolutely. Without a doubt. AJ Brown with Philly is the second highest APY. Has AJ Brown proven it? Yeah. Has Jalen Waddle with Miami at number three? I would say yeah. I would. I'm on St. Raw, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs. Anybody playing on potential with the contracts those guys have? Not at all. Guaranteed money, Justin Jefferson. I'm on St. Raw, St. Raw Brown. I'm on Raw St. Brown. Come on, Brown. Get it together. Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. All proven it. Tight end. Number one in terms of highest three-year APY, Travis Kelce. Has he earned it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Has TJ Hawkinson for Minnesota earned it? Yeah. Has George Kittle earned it? Yeah. As far as total guaranteed money, TJ Hawkinson earned it. George Kittle earned it. Mark Andrews earned it. We won't spend a ton of time on the offensive line. I'll just do number ones and anybody that jumps out. Across the APY and guaranteed money, the names are Penei Sewell, Laremy Tunsil, Andrew Thomas, Ronnie Stanley, and Ryan Ramczyk. Every one of those guys has proven it. At guard, Chris Lindstrom, Robert Hunt with Carolina, Quentin Nelson, Mike Onwenu, Robert Hunt, Chris Lindstrom, Quentin Nelson, guaranteed. All proven it. At center, Frank Ragnow in Detroit, Lloyd Cushenberry in Tennessee, Eric McCoy in New Orleans. Earned it. Cornerback, Jair Alexander, Jalen Ramsey, Marshawn Lattimore. Any of those guys potential? All proven. All proven. At safety, Antoine Winfield Jr., Darvin James Jr., Minka Fitzpatrick, Jesse Bates. All proven. Edge rusher, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, TJ Watt, Brian Burns, Miles Garrett. Again.
What a group that is.
Yeah, really. Earned it. Maybe more than any other position we've mentioned so far. Defensive tackle. Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, Christian Wilkins, Derek Brown, Quinnen Williams.
Again, another who's who of that position.
Yeah.
So those guys obviously earned it, and you know their names.
These are all defensive tackles that you know. Off-ball linebackers. Roquan Smith, Fred Warner, Tremaine Edmonds, C.J. Mosley. You know the names. All earned it. Kicker. Justin Tucker. Jake Elliott, Matt Gay, Graham Gano. This is probably the most shaky, but it's also kickers. These guys are usually rolling off after like a year or two, right? I think, if I recall, of the three guys that are in the highest three-year API, I think only one of them is actually on a contract that gets... Actually, that's not even true because Justin Tucker's contract ends in 2027, so he's on that list for 3 years, but that's it. I mean, every position on the football field is guys, with the exception of quarterback. And by the way, if Dak Prescott gets his $60 million a year, he'll either be right at, just above, or just below Joe Burrow. Every other position is made up of guys whose names you know, and you know their names because they have proven that they are worth the money to a team, with the exception of quarterback. This is why I've been saying what I'm saying. And granted, some of the guys on the quarterback list are guys that have proven it. But I would also point out, Joey B signed his contract in September of last year, before the injury happened. He was coming off of a Super Bowl run at that point. Jared Goff in Detroit, same situation. Was a guy that signed his contract and then went on a run. This is why you pay quarterbacks for potential. Because you don't do that. Look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff was traded from the LA Rams to the Detroit Lions. Why? Because the Rams believed that the expiration date on Jared Goff had come and gone. That's why they went out there and made the trade and brought over Matt Stafford. I really don't think that they believed that Jared Goff was the reason that the LA Rams had a run. To me, I think they thought the expiration date had passed, that he was not going to reach that potential any longer, that they were going to move on, because they believed that even Matt Stafford, a guy that was older and a guy that had been in Detroit, I think they still looked at Stafford as, this guy's got all the potential to be that kind of veteran clubhouse leader style quarterback. And Detroit is such, or at the time, was such a crap organization that they've held him back. And we can not only get Matt Stafford and give the guy an opportunity to prove that he's the cat that everybody believed he was when he came out of Georgia, we can give him a crack at it. We can give him a run at it and put him into this system. Because even at what they got him when he was 33, 34, I mean, he wasn't ancient. He was definitely an older quarterback. But he's not a guy that you base an offense around moving the quarterback. And they weren't built like that at the time. They were built around the Cooper Cups. They were built around that short, quick, dink, dink, dink offense. And that's what Matt Stafford runs best. They send Jared Goff over to Detroit because they believed that the expiration date had come and gone. Jared Goff goes down to Detroit, becomes a folk hero in replacing Matt Stafford after what the Lions did last year. And oh, by the way, the Lions are going to be back again this year. Potential, potential, potential. When people look and they go, why is Trevor Lawrence getting paid that much? Why is Deshaun Watson getting paid that much? Why is Justin Herbert getting paid that much? The answer is because you see the potential, whether or not that potential will ever be recognized or realized, I guess I should say. You see the potential in them, and if you don't pay them, someone else will. And if that potential comes to fruition somewhere else, you get stuck in quarterback purgatory. You get stuck in a spot where, for instance, the Atlanta Falcons have been stuck the last couple of years, ever since they moved on from Matt Ryan, not Ryan, because they believed that guy was cooked. And maybe they were right about Matt Ryan, not Ryan. But they moved on from Matt Ryan, and they couldn't find the guy after that. And when they couldn't find the guy after that, they got stuck in quarterback purgatory, which is why you had names like Mariota starting, which is why you had names like, Desmond Ridder starting, right? Lonzo was coming to the save there. You had guys like Desmond Ridder starting. That's what happens when you get stuck in quarterback purgatory. And oh, by the way, let's look at what Atlanta is projected to do. Atlanta made very few changes from last year, right? Their first round draft pick is another quarterback. They've made very few changes from last year's team. All they did, by and large, was go get Kirk Cousins, Kirky, to come play QB. They got Kirky at QB. That's the big change. And a team that outside of changing their head coach, which I will acknowledge is a big change, outside of changing their head coach, by the way, to a defensive head coach, they made no other big personnel changes, and that team is, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC South now. Better than Carolina, better than New Orleans, and I think as much as I love Baker Mayfield, I think Tampa Bay is getting exposed this year. Better than Tampa Bay. It's because they got out of QB purgatory. This is why. Is Kirk Cousins, by the way, is Kirk Cousins worth the money they paid Kirk Cousins? I don't know. We're going to find out. But the potential of Kirk Cousins is better than the potential of most of the other quarterbacks that were available to Atlanta. That's why they paid him a four-year contract, even if they don't plan on having him there for 4 years. Every other position we named is full of guys whomst names you know. You know all the quarterback names because that's because they're quarterbacks. But it's a lot of potential versus paid on performance. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Real good, Corey LaJoy. Thanks very much for asking. Lonzo sent me a DM this AM that I found very, very interesting. Reports are, according to Duff Kleiman of the NFL, Tom Pelissero reported on the Rich Eisen show that some NFL owners are discussing creating a separate salary cap for quarterbacks due to the rapid increase in quarterback contracts. And the reaction to that is split. The first response on Twitter was from Blanded Dot, who said, this might just save the league. And then there are other people who are not so thrilled about it, like Pat's Buzz, who said this would be a great benefit to teams with elite quarterbacks and literally nobody else. Imagine being able to pay Mahomes the full amount he wants and it has literally zero effect on the rest of the team building process. JL responds on Twitter saying this should not be an issue if teams didn't overpay their quarterback because he's the QB. This is interesting to me. Personally, Lonzo, I don't know about you. I think it's a terrible idea. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I mean,
it's gonna cause resentment. I mean, it's already there anyway to a degree, between positions. But you're saying, hey, this guy who we're overly protecting and saying, sorry, defense, you can't touch this guy. Now no one can touch him financially. Do you think the players' union would go for this? I'm just not so sure.
I think the players
union. There are more other players than there are quarterbacks.
The players union absolutely will go for it. And I'll go for it for two reasons. Number one, it gets the quarterbacks more money. Number two, it opens up more payroll for literally every other player on the field. Like, yes, you are correct. They are going to look the other players and go, all right, Mahomes and those guys can make $1 bazillion a year, and we are still limited individually as players. But at the same time, imagine taking Joe Burrow's $62.5 million per year and spreading it out across the roster. You could automatically give every other player on the roster an extra like $1.1 million a year. But all right, it's not that high. It's like $1.001 million per year.
Lonzo here, I'm the best receiver in the NFL. Lonzo needs to get paid like a quarterback. Lonzo is not going to show up to your camp till Lonzo gets paid like a quarterback.
This is why two things. Number one, love Lonzo referring to Lonzo in the third person. Number two, this is why I have a problem with it. I have a problem with it for what Pat's Buzz on Twitter said just a couple of minutes ago. I have a problem with it because of the team building element of it. Listen, if you decide that this guy is so valuable to the success of your team. I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes or it's Trevor Lawrence or it's anybody else. As important as we all agree that the quarterbacking position is, and it is, if you agree that this guy is so infinitely invaluable to your team and the roster that you are building around him, then you should have to dedicate more resources to that guy and decide where else it is going to be that you pull resources from in order to do so. Every year, Kansas City has to make decisions about their roster in order to make sure that Patrick Mahomes, who is invaluable to what the Chiefs have built over the years, is happy with his compensation from the team. And down the line, that could include one day beginning to question whether keeping a fan favorite like a Travis Kelce around is worth it. Is it worth it to keep the number one tight end on the roster in terms of compensation? Is it worth it to keep the number one most compensated tight end in the league around and keep the number one or one of the top three most compensated quarterbacks in the NFL around and do so to the detriment of being able to go find a great pass rusher with all the electrifying quarterbacks that are in that division now, right? I mean, you're going to have a great pass rush with Jarrett Stidham staring you down twice a year. You get me? You feel me? So, to me, the salary cap is put into place to level the playing field. And I don't think the playing field needs to be leveled anywhere more than it needs to be leveled amongst quarterbacks. Listen, if you stumble into an all-timer, excellent. Congratulations. What a wonderful situation you find yourself in. Good for you. But if you want to keep that guy on the roster, if you want to keep that electrifying quarterback, if you want to keep the most important position on the football field, on your football field, then you should have to make sacrifices elsewhere in the name of competitive balance. And there should be other teams that go, yo, we think we got a guy that's good enough. We think we got a guy that's good enough to win, but what we would really like to do is build up an incredible run of skill position players around him. I would like to point to the San Francisco 49ers. Again, is Brock Purdy a good quarterback? Yes. Brock Purdy is a fine quarterback. Is Brock Purdy Patrick Mahomes? Is he Josh Allen? Is he Joe Burrow? No, he's not those things. He's good. But he's not those things. And because he's not those things, San Francisco is not paying him like those guys, at least not yet. And in not paying him like those guys, they can afford to keep a Deebo Samuel on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. They can afford to keep a Brandon Ayuk on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. They can afford to keep a George Kittle on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. And oh, by the way, they got a couple of pretty good defensive players out there in San Francisco, California, as well. Competitive balance is the point of the salary cap. And if we get to the point that quarterbacks are no longer considered a part of the competitive balance sliding scale, I think you run a pretty big risk to the league. It would be one thing, Lonzo, if there were 32 elite Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks playing football every year. But if we're calling a spade, there's not. There's maybe five elite quarterbacks. There's probably five to seven more Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. And then there's a bunch of guys, probably a dozen guys, that like, if you build a most excellent team around them, maybe you can win the division.
So who came up with this idea?
I'll tell you who. This is the idea of the owners of the Chiefs, the owners of the Cowboys, the owners of the Bills, the owners of, at this point, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens. These are teams whose quarterbacks have started to either ask or demand to be paid and threatened to bail if not. And they're going, well, I got to give Lamar Jackson so much money that I can't build the rest of the roster around him. Like at some point, and I don't know where this point comes in, unless the salary cap comes in, and then it never will. But at some point, a team's going to have to tell a quarterback no. Right? Like if I'm Dallas right now, I got a hard time saying yes to pay Dak Prescott as much as Joe Burrow. I got a hard time saying yes to pay Dak Prescott more than you are paying a fistful of quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls or competed for them. I got a hard time telling some of these cats that I'm willing to give them $60 million a year when there are quarterbacks who have won rings that have not received that yet. It is kind of difficult for me to agree to that. So, like, isn't that kind of the point of the cap? Isn't kind of point of the cap to say that, you know, at some point, you're going to have to tell a Dak Prescott, no, we are not giving you $60 million a year to go out, have a spectacular regular season, and then fold like a wet paper towel in the playoffs again. We can't do it. And if that is something that makes you leave town, if that is something that makes you say, fine, trade me, hit the market, then that's fine. Because that $60 million annually, I can put it to use elsewhere, right? I can see if maybe we hit on something with Trey Lance and then put $60 million annually worth of weaponry around the guy. And I'm not saying Trey Lance is on Brock Purdy's level by any stretch of the imagination. But I've made it clear. I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Do I think he is elite? No. Do I think he's an all-timer? No. Do I think that a number of years down the road, we're going to be talking about Brock Purdy in the same breath that we're talking about Mahomes or Josh Allen or any of these cats? No. No. In fact, I think there's more quarterbacks in the league right now that could go to San Francisco and replace Brock Purdy and be just as successful than certainly I do think there are those guys that could do that with the Chiefs or could do that with the Bills or could do that with the Ravens, right? Like the point of the cap, and you can continue to increase the cap every year so that everybody gets a bigger slice of an ever-growing pie. But I think that at some point, if you're the league, you've got to tell quarterbacks no. You can't have $60 million a year because what this does is it is ultimately going to create further disparity in the league. If you don't draft a quarterback who ends up turning into a Mahomes or a Jackson or an Allen or a Burrow, then you're just going to be stuck at the bottom forever. Forever. Right?
That sounded pretty personal when you said that.
I don't know why. I got a future Hall of Famer on my team. Spencer Rattler. Hall of Famer.
Could
first
be.
Ballot.
You never know.
You never know. But again, isn't that kind of the point of the salary cap? Isn't that kind of the point of the salary cap? Isn't the point to ensure competitive balance across the league so we don't just have the same damn teams showing up in the playoffs every single year because they've got all the money and they sit on career quarterbacks forever. Isn't it about making sure? Congratulations, Chiefs. You found Patrick Mahomes, who is going to go down as one of the best to ever do it, for sure. But if you want to keep Patrick Mahomes, who is going to go down as one of the best to ever do it, you will have to make sacrifices elsewhere. If Mahomes is going to demand that money, one of the highest three guaranteed money contracts in the NFL, then he is also going to have to realize that you only have so much money to go around. And in order for him to get paid, and this is not just true of Mahomes, it's true of Allen, and it's true of Jackson and Burrow and everybody, but if you want to make that much money, Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to work with lesser weaponry around you to ensure competitive balance across the league. This, to me, would just throw whatever perception of competitive balance we have in the NFL completely into chaos, and I'm not here for it. I'm not. I hate this idea. There's a lot of ideas the owners have proposed that would benefit them that I'm like, all right, whatever. This doesn't impact me in any way, shape, or form. This does. This impacts everybody. I despise this idea from the owners. And by the owners, I mean the owners that have Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Pro Bowler of sports flashes, Lonzo.
24 years running. The College World Series final is set. The number one overall seed Tennessee Volunteers eliminated Florida State with a 7-2 victory out of the winner's bracket. Tennessee will face Texas A&M, who eliminated Florida with a 6-0 shutout victory. The Gators had only four hits on the day. Game one of the finals will be Saturday. Game two Sunday. And if necessary, game three on Monday. Charlie Woods, the 15-year-old son of Tiger Woods, has earned his first USGA championship admission with one of the best scores amongst amateur qualifiers. Woods finished with a 1-under-71 at Eagle Trace to medal in his qualifying round. Tiger Woods' first qualification was at age 14. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new, spanking new, it's very new, local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, all Wire to Wire.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Real good, Corey LaJoy. Thanks very much for asking. Lonzo sent me a DM this AM that I found very, very interesting. Reports are, according to Duff Kleiman of the NFL, Tom Pelissero reported on the Rich Eisen show that some NFL owners are discussing creating a separate salary cap for quarterbacks due to the rapid increase in quarterback contracts. And the reaction to that is split. The first response on Twitter was from Blanded Dot, who said, this might just save the league. And then there are other people who are not so thrilled about it, like Pat's Buzz, who said, this would be a great benefit to teams with elite quarterbacks and literally nobody else. Imagine being able to pay Mahomes the full amount he wants, and it has literally zero effect on the rest of the team building process. JL responds on Twitter saying, this should not be an issue if teams didn't overpay their quarterback because he's the QB. This is interesting to me. Personally, Lonzo, I don't know about you. I think it's a terrible idea. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it either. It's gonna cause resentment. I mean, it's already there anyway to a degree. between positions, but you're saying, hey, this guy who we're overly protecting and saying, sorry, defense, you can't touch this guy, now no one can touch him financially. Do you think the players' union would go for this? I'm just not so sure.
I think the players'
union. There are more other players than there are quarterbacks.
The players' union absolutely will go for it. And I'll go for it for two reasons. Number one, it gets the quarterbacks more money. Number two, it opens up more payroll for literally every other player on the field. Like, yes, you are correct. They are going to look the other players and go, all right, Mahomes and those guys can make $1 bazillion a year, and we are still limited individually as players. But at the same time, imagine taking Joe Burrow's $62.5 million per year and spreading it out across the roster. You could automatically give every other player on the roster an extra like $1.1 million a year. But it's not that high. It's like $1.001 million per year.
Lonzo here. I'm the best receiver in the NFL. Lonzo needs to get paid like a quarterback. Lonzo is not going to show up to your camp till Lonzo gets paid like a quarterback.
This is why two things. Number one, love Lonzo referring to Lonzo in the third person. Number two, this is why I have a problem with it. I have a problem with it for what Pat's Buzz on Twitter said just a couple of minutes ago. I have a problem with it because of the team building element of it. Listen, if you decide that this guy is so valuable to the success of your team, I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes or it's Trevor Lawrence or it's anybody else. As important as we all agree that the quarterbacking position is, and it is, if you agree that this guy is so infinitely invaluable to your team and the roster that you are building around him, then you should have to dedicate more resources to that guy and decide where else it is going to be that you pull resources from in order to do so. Every year, Kansas City has to make decisions about their roster in order to make sure that Patrick Mahomes, who is invaluable to what the Chiefs have built over the years, is happy with his compensation from the team. And down the line, that could include one day beginning to question whether keeping a fan favorite like a Travis Kelce around is worth it. Is it worth it to keep the number one tight end on the roster in terms of compensation? Is it worth it to keep the number one most compensated tight end in the league around and keep the number one or one of the top three most compensated quarterbacks in the NFL around and do so to the detriment of being able to go find a great pass rusher with all the electrifying quarterbacks that are in that division now, right? I mean, you're going to have a great pass rush with Jarrett Stidham staring you down twice a year. You get me? You feel me? So, to me, the salary cap is put into place to level the playing field. And I don't think the playing field needs to be leveled anywhere more than it needs to be leveled amongst quarterbacks. Listen, if you stumble into an all-timer, excellent. Congratulations. What a wonderful situation you find yourself in. Good for you. But if you want to keep that guy on the roster, if you want to keep that electrifying quarterback, if you want to keep the most important position on the football field, on your football field, then you should have to make sacrifices elsewhere in the name of competitive balance. And there should be other teams that go, yo, we think we got a guy that's good enough. We think we got a guy that's good enough to win, but what we would really like to do is build up an incredible run of skill position players around him. I would like to point to the San Francisco 49ers. Again, is Brock Purdy a good quarterback? Yes. Brock Purdy is a fine quarterback. Is Brock Purdy Patrick Mahomes? Is he Josh Allen? Is he Joe Burrow? No. He's not those things. He's good, but he's not those things. And because he's not those things, San Francisco is not paying him like those guys, at least not yet. And in not paying him like those guys, they can afford to keep a Deebo Samuel on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. They can afford to keep a Brandon Ayuk on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. They can afford to keep a George Kittle on the roster, a guy who makes Brock Purdy look good. And oh, by the way, they got a couple of pretty good defensive players out there in San Francisco, California, as well. Competitive balance is the point of the salary cap. And if we get to the point that quarterbacks are no longer considered a part of the competitive balance sliding scale, I think you run a pretty big risk to the league. It would be one thing, Lonzo, if there were 32 elite Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks playing football every year. But if we're calling a spade, there's not. There's maybe five elite quarterbacks. There's probably five to seven more Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. And then there's a bunch of guys, probably a dozen guys, that like, if you build a most excellent team around them, maybe you can win the division.
So who came up with this idea?
I'll tell you who. This is the idea of the owners of the Chiefs, the owners of the Cowboys, the owners of the Bills, the owners of, at this point, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens. These are teams whose quarterbacks have started to either ask or demand to be paid and threatened to bail if not. And they're going, well, I got to give Lamar Jackson so much money that I can't build the rest of the roster around him. Like at some point, and I don't know where this point comes in, unless the salary cap comes in, and then it never will. But at some point, a team's going to have to tell a quarterback no. Right? Like if I'm Dallas right now, I got a hard time saying yes to pay Dak Prescott as much as Joe Burrow. I got a hard time saying yes to pay Dak Prescott more than you are paying a fistful of quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls or competed for them. I got a hard time telling some of these cats that I'm willing to give them $60 million a year when there are quarterbacks who have won rings that have not received that yet. It is kind of difficult for me to agree to that. So, like, isn't that kind of the point of the cap? Isn't kind of point of the cap to say that, you know, at some point, you're going to have to tell a Dak Prescott, no, we are not giving you $60 million a year to go out, have a spectacular regular season, and then fold like a wet paper towel in the playoffs again. We can't do it. And if that is something that makes you leave town, if that is something that makes you say, fine, trade me, hit the market, then that's fine. Because that $60 million annually, I can put it to use elsewhere, right? I can see if maybe we hit on something with Trey Lance and then put $60 million annually worth of weaponry around the guy. And I'm not saying Trey Lance is on Brock Purdy's level by any stretch of the imagination. But I've made it clear. I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Do I think he is elite? No. Do I think he's an all-timer? No. Do I think that a number of years down the road, we're going to be talking about Brock Purdy in the same breath that we're talking about Mahomes or Josh Allen or any of these cats? No. No. In fact, I think there's more quarterbacks in the league right now that could go to San Francisco and replace Brock Purdy and be just as successful. Then certainly I do think there are those guys that could do that with the Chiefs or could do that with the Bills or could do that with the Ravens, right? Like the point of the cap, and you can continue to increase the cap every year so that everybody gets a bigger slice of an ever-growing pie. But I think that at some point, if you're the league, you've got to tell quarterbacks no. You can't have $60 million a year, because what this does is it is ultimately going to create further disparity in the league. If you don't draft a quarterback who ends up turning into a Mahomes or a Jackson or an Allen or a Burrow, then you're just going to be stuck at the bottom forever. Forever, right?
That sounded pretty personal when you said that.
I don't know why. I got a future Hall of Famer on my team.
Uh-huh.
Spencer Rattler. Hall of Famer.
Could
first
be.
Ballot.
You never know.
But again, isn't that kind of the point of the salary cap? Isn't that kind of the point of the salary cap? Isn't the point to ensure competitive balance across the league so we don't just have the same damn teams showing up in the playoffs every single year because they've got all the money and they sit on career quarterbacks forever? Isn't it about making sure? Congratulations, Chiefs. You found Patrick Mahomes, who is going to go down as one of the best to ever do it, for sure. But if you want to keep Patrick Mahomes, who is going to go down as one of the best to ever do it, you will have to make sacrifices elsewhere. If Mahomes is going to demand that money, one of the highest three guaranteed money contracts in the NFL, then he is also going to have to realize that you only have so much money to go around. And in order for him to get paid, and this is not just true of Mahomes, it's true of Allen, and it's true of Jackson and Burrow and everybody, but if you want to make that much money, Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to work with lesser weaponry around you to ensure competitive balance across the league. This, to me, would just throw whatever perception of competitive balance we have in the NFL completely into chaos, and I'm not here for it. I'm not. I hate this idea. There's a lot of ideas the owners have proposed that would benefit them that I'm like, all right, whatever. This doesn't impact me in any way, shape, or form. This does. This impacts everybody. I despise this idea from the owners. And by the owners, I mean the owners that have Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Pro Bowler of sports flashes, Lonzo.
24 years running. The College World Series final is set. The number one overall seed Tennessee Volunteers eliminated Florida State with a 7-2 victory out of the winner's bracket. Tennessee will face Texas A&M, who eliminated Florida with a 6-0 shutout victory. The Gators had only 4 hits on the day. Game 1 of the finals will be Saturday. Game 2 Sunday. And if necessary, Game 3 on Monday. Charlie Woods, the 15-year-old son of Tiger Woods, has earned his first USGA championship admission with one of the best scores amongst amateur qualifiers. Woods finished with a 1-under-71 at Eagle Trace to medal in his qualifying round. Tiger Woods' first qualification was at age 14. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new, spanking new, it's very new, local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, all Wire to Wire.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.